out. And I want to talk about a subject tonight, today, dealing with three type of people, four type of people. Number one, I want to talk about someone who was a devout man, someone who was a religious man, someone who was a zealot, very religious, someone who was religious and had good characterization. I want you to get your Bibles with me. I'm going to slow it down a little bit as we talk about each individual, but what I want you to do as we go through each one, I want you to look at the scripture. And let's get out the way. You get out the way and I get out the way. And let the Bible answer the question as we prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. And the title of my lesson, I've had to give one this morning, and I hear people saying this all the time, are all religious people Christians? Are all religious people are Christians? And people ask me that all the time. To what church did you go to? What church did you preach at? Someone asked me the other day, am I your brother in Christ? And my response was, well, let the Bible answer the question. Because I don't have a heaven nor hell to put nobody in. I'm here just like you, working out my salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12, the Bible teaches us that we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And that's really why God put us here. That's why he established the ecclesia, the church of Christ. We said upon this rock, I will build my church. And the only way that I know that it can answer the question that we go to God's word. What I think and what you think don't matter. But the book, we can prove it in the book and see in the book. That can answer the question. That we ask the question, are all religious people Christian? Let's begin by going to the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse number 5. I want to talk about someone who was devout. The word devout means someone who is sincere. Someone who is sincere, who's focused. They have good intention in what they believe. Now, a lot of people in the world that way. They may not belong to the church, but they are devout people in what they may do. They are religious. The word religious means they do things out of habit. They are sincere. They go to church. They have some form of religion. In the book of Acts chapter 2, I want us to begin reading. Beginning in verse number 1, we're going to drop our way down to verse number 5. And so when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But look at verse number 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, and that's that key word, they were devout men out of every nation under heaven. That here were people, according to Luke 24:45, Mark 9:1, we told them that some of you standing here should not taste death till you see the kingdom come with power, but go into the Jerusalem and tarry till you be endured with power from on high. Out of every nation, they were there. And they were devout. They were sincere as to what they believed in. But being sincere or being religious, the question is, do it make you a Christian? Are all religious people Christian just because you are sincere? A lot of us come out of denominationalism. I being a Baptist preacher, born and raised in the Catholic Church. And I was sincere. I was devout. See, I had good intention. But did that make me a child of God? We'll go to Acts chapter 2. Let's continue reading. Let's the Bible answer the question. Because in verse number 36, Peter stands up and he preaches the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. He preached the glorious gospel. He says in verse 36, Acts 2:36, he said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." And then in verse 37, they asked the question, number one, "What must I do?" He said, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall I do?" Verse 38, here's the answer. He told them, "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Just because they were devout, just because, as the Bible says, devout men out of every nation under heaven, did that make them Christians? Well, the answer is no. But if you continue to read verse 41, the Bible said, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were adding them about 3,000 souls." And verse 47, for time's sake, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people," what happened? "The Lord added them to the church daily, such as I should be saved." So we see, just by this one example, just because you may be devout, just because you may be sincere, and just because you may love your church, brethren, that don't make you a Christian if you don't do it in accordance to the word of God. Go to Mark 16, 16 very quickly. And I want to give you one more reference here to keep it simple. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. I want you to see from the word of God in relationship to understanding what is the word of God. In Mark 16, 16. See, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews." See, devout men. Underline that word, devout men. Because a lot of time I hear people say, "Well, you don't have to be a member of the church. Any church is good as another church." Well, it's not so. Because if that's so, why did they ask the question, "What must I do to be saved?" Because Jesus says in Mark 16, 16, that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. See, you are saved when you are baptized based on your belief. Now, 1 Peter 3:21 says, "Baptism does also now what? Save us." So we see the first example that we have of a devout man, whether you may be a pagan, or whether you may be a Jew, or whether you're in Catholicism, or whether you're in Protestantism, or whatever it may be. Whatever you are devout about, see, that do not make you a Christian unless you are baptized for the remission of your sins, because Jesus said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. See? And that's the point that we need to see. Now, let's look at another man, if we may. And let the Bible answer the question. Is that good enough? See, let the Bible be the answer the question. Is that good enough? Prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 8. Look at another man. Here's a man that went to church. Amen. See, everybody that go to church is not a Christian. Amen. Amen. Everybody that's devout and everybody that go to worship is not a Christian. Amen. John said in John 4:24, "The God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." See, just because you go to church, or just because you go to somebody's church, or just because you worship any way you want to worship, that don't make your worship in spirit and in truth. So we see a devout man, a church-going man, a religious man, don't make you a child of God. Now go to the book of Acts chapter 8, and I'll begin reading in verse number 27 and verse number 28.
Now, here's a man that came all the way from Ethiopia. Amen. So you know he had to be devout too. Amen. Some of us won't come across town. Amen. Some of us won't get in our automobiles and ride around the block to come to worship. Amen. But this man came all the way from Ethiopia, amen, to worship God. But the question is, do all worship of church-going people, are all those people Christians, amen? And we're going to let the Bible answer the question, amen. Beginning in verse number 27. Acts chapter 8 and verse 27. Look what the Bible says. It says here, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet, chapter 53. So here we go. Here was a man who had not only great authority, but he was an intelligent individual. But he had came all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship God. And then when Philip came upon him, not only was he worshiping, but he was reading from the book. He was studying to show himself approved unto God. So the question that I ask, do all church-going people, or all people who read the Bible, do that make you a Christian? Let's go to verse number 30, and let's continue to read the story. The Bible says in verse 30 that he had to be taught. The Bible says that Philip ran nigh to him, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, now look what he says. He said, do you understand what thou hast read? Now I'm going to stop right here, because I want you to write in your Bible Ephesians 5:17. Because see, you got to understand what is the will of the Lord. Amen. Then number one, once you understand, I want you to write 1 John 5:13. That is, you got to know what you understand, amen. And then Romans 12:2, it ought to be changed. It ought to be transformed. Amen. Because Philip knew that in order for him to be saved, he had to understand what he was reading, because when he went up to him, he already was reading from the book. But the question was, did he understand what he was reading? You understand what I'm saying? See, did he understand what he was reading? Now, I want to continue to read. I want you to follow along with me. Because the Bible says in verse 31, and the eunuch said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, I'm going to start right here. We underline the word desire. We underline the word understand. And I want you to underline the word, and he was reading. See, he was reading to get understanding, but thank God he had a desire. Amen. 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 See, he said, and he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. And in his immutation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall decline his generation? For his life is taken from his, from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, verse 34, he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and he preached, and I want you to underline that word, Jesus. Question, look at me. How can you be saved when you preach anything other than Jesus? How can you be saved and preach Jesus but not get into his church? Do you hear what I just said? See, he said, do you understand? How can I except a man should guide me? He desired Philip come and sit with him. And that what it says? And then he began to preach to him about Jesus. You hear what he said? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb, dumb before his shears, so opened down his mouth. Am I right? And then verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, amen. And as they went on their way, now look what he says here, because he preached Jesus, that they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water, what does hinder me to be baptized? Well, the question that I ask, well, how did he know that water was going to bring about baptism? Because he was taught about Jesus, and Jesus said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. And because Jesus said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and then Colossians 2:12, baptism is a burial, am I right? In Romans 6:3-4, we are buried with him in baptism, the ride to walk in what? Newness of life. Because of that, he knew when he saw water, he asked that question. Look what he says here. He asked that question. See, here's water, what does hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou, now watch it now, by that word believe, right? What Jesus said again, Mark 16:16. Believe with all the heart thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And look at verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And what happened? He baptized him. So just because he was going to worship, because he was an intelligent man, because he had authority, that didn't make him saved. He had to be saved when, number one, he knew who Jesus was. Am I right? And once he was taught who Jesus were, and because Jesus said he that believeth and the baptized shall be saved, and he was baptized, am I right, at that point, that put him into the church, because Acts 2:47 said, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord adds to the church daily such that should be saved. So just because you are a religious man and just because you're a church-going man, that don't make you a Christian. You got to obey the gospel. You got to be saved. The only way you're going to be saved, you got to be baptized for the remission of your sin. And let me clear it up. All baptism is not a good baptism. Am I right? Go to Ephesians 4 right quick. Then we're going to move on. And I want you to see that, because see, a lot of you sitting here and say, well, I've already been baptized. I've been baptized 4 times. I've been baptized 5 times. Am I right? But see, if you're baptized right, the Lord would have added you to the church. If Jesus would have been preached in your life like the eunuch, you would have been added to the church. Am I right? So what we got to do is go back and see right quick what baptism they're talking about over here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4. All right, beginning in verse 3, Ephesians 4, 3. He says here, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, and by the word body, right, 1 Corinthians 12:12, right, Ephesians 1:22-23, right, 1 Corinthians 12:12, and Ephesians 1:22-23, Colossians 1:18. I want you to write 1 Corinthians 12:12. I want you to write Ephesians 1:22-23 and Colossians 1:18. There's one body and one spirit. Even as you are called, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, by the gospel. Amen. And one hope of your calling. So if we are called by the gospel, amen, to give us one body, and the body is the church, we are guided by the Spirit, which is the 66 books. Am I right? Y'all got that? I'm going to say it one more time. Because see, if you don't endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit to the bond of peace, see, he preached Jesus to him, John. But see, if it wasn't done by the Spirit, number one, it wouldn't have done no good. So what he's saying here, look what he says, there's one body, which is the church, amen, that is guided by the Spirit, which is the Word, amen.
based on the calling of 2 Thessalonians 2:14, for how we are called by the gospel. What's the gospel? 66 books. Y'all with me? Two spirits exist in the world. You got a good spirit and a bad spirit. Either you're falling right or you're falling wrong. Either you're a goat, you're a sheep, amen. But there ain't no in-between ground. Sometimes people say, well, I'm half good. Well, how can you be half good? Well, I ain't drunk, I'm just half drunk. What's that? Am I right? Am I right? See, I ain't real bad. See, but. Isn't that what we say? You can't be that way. Either you're following him, the proper spirit, or you're following what? The bad spirit, because there's no in-between ground. Either you're following God, you're following the devil. You're on the right, you're on the left. You're a sheep or you're a goat, because there ain't no in-between ground. Amen. Am I right? See, we've been reading Leviticus and Numbers. He separated those who were clean versus those who were unclean. Am I right? So when Philip sat with him, because he had a desire that Philip come, he preached Jesus to him, didn't he? And when he preached Jesus, the conclusion of the whole matter was, Calvin, when he saw water, he knew what water would do. Because he had to be buried in the water grave of baptism to rise and walk in new life. Because baptism was saved him. Amen. Am I right? Y'all with me? See? And then it goes on to say, look what it says here. He said, one Lord, verse 5, one faith, and one baptism. What is faith? Faith is Jesus. Amen. And one baptism. See, that one baptism, I'm going to tell you what it is right quick. That's that one baptism that those who were devout were baptized into. Amen. That one baptism is that one baptism, amen, that when Philip baptized the eunuch, when they both went down into the water, that's the baptism we're talking about. That one baptism is the baptism of Jesus, when Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. See, one baptism. And that one baptism will put you in the right church. Because you can't be baptized wrong and end up right. Y'all with me? See, you can't be baptized. I want you to see it. This is right. And this is wrong. Amen? You can't be baptized somewhere wrong. Amen? And be added to the right church. See, he only built one church, am I right? There's one body, am I right? There's one spirit, am I right? That we are called by, am I right? That will put you in that one church, right? So you can't be baptized in something over here that God ain't sanctioned, that you can't find in the Bible, right? See, in order to end up right over here. See, when you're called right by the gospel, when you studied the book, and when you're called right, like Ethiopian eunuch, when Jesus would preach, the Lord added him to the church. Though there are many people who baptize, who emerge, but their emerging is not in accordance to the Spirit. But if it was according to the Spirit, the Lord would put you in the church. Right? You'll be in the church, am I right? You'll be here. You'll worship God in spirit and in truth, am I right? Y'all with me? And the reason why I'm explaining it, because some of you sitting here, you may have been baptized. You may have been immersed. You may have been whatever you've been. But see, you didn't do it in according to the Spirit or the calling of the gospel. When you don't do it that way, it don't put you in the right place. Amen. Because see, when you do it the right place, verse 47, Acts 2 says, praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord will add you what? To his church. Right. Not no man-made church. Not no church that you can read about in the Bible. We're talking about there's only one church you can read about in the Bible, and that's the church that Jesus built. Amen. And you got to get in it. And the only way you're going to get in it, you got to do what he told you to do in order to be added to the body of Christ. Y'all with me? And that's the reason why the Bible says in verse 5, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Because there's only one. So here was a man who was a religious man, who's a man who had went to worship, but he was not a Christian. They would bury him in baptism when they both went down the water and came out rejoicing. So you see the devout man, right? You see the worshiping man. You see the religious man. Look at the third individual. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Again. Y'all with me? Beginning in verse 3. Of time, so let's go to chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. If you had chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, I want you to write, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5, 6, and 7 by this individual name who is Saul of Tarsus. And the reason I want you to write that down is because he was a man who was a zealot. He was a man, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, and I want you to go down and look at me. I want you to see the qualification of this man. I want you to see who Saul of Tarsus was. Amen. Amen. I saw one of my friends the other day, Quint, and I didn't know this. And I said, hey. I said, hey. I was at the flea market. He said, hey, Al. And I said, how you doing? And she said, I'm doing fine. And she said, did you know I was an apostle? I said, what? I jumped back. She said, what you moving back from? I said, I'm scared. I'm scared of you. She said, why am I scared of you? I said, you're breaking down against norm. And the reason why you're breaking against norm is because what you say you are, it's not fitting in what my frame of mind is. And that is, how can you say that? Well, number one, I said, let me see your Bible. She had a Bible. I said, let me borrow your Bible for a minute. And I went to open her Bible and I showed her. I said, well, how can you say you're that, number one, when the qualification to be an apostle is, number one, you had to been with Jesus from the time he was baptized by John. You had to witness the resurrection. And there's only one man that was born did not meet those qualifications. But he was born out of due season to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And I opened up the book and I showed it to her. And she looked at me and she said, you know, the devil sure is busy. And when she called me the devil, I said, well, you have a great day. It was time for me to move on. But let me show you about this man right quick. He says here, verse 5, this man here, Paul, he says he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew. As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal. Now, this kind of man this man was. He persecuted the church. See, what he thought when the Church of Christ was established and people were being added and people were being multiplied and people were joining the way, people were following Christ, he thought this thing was some against Judaism. So what he thought that he would do when he saw Stephen stoned to death, and when he saw all these Christians, he started persecuting the church. You see what I'm saying? Touching the righteousness which is the law. Blameless. But look at verse 7. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss, but the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but dung. That means that all that he was nothing compared to what he gained by being a child of God. Amen. Let's read about it right quick, very quickly. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1. This man with all those qualifications, a religious zealot, but in spite of all that, the Bible said that he had to change. Look what the Bible said, verse 1 and 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way. Now do me a favor. By the word way, write John 14:6. Because see, you know what? That's what they were called, the way. See, they weren't called, we're in the church of Christ, but we are the way, amen. What way? Jesus' way, amen. Am I right? See, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the word. How many ways is it?
One.
See, ain't but one way, am I right? How many ways to heaven? Jesus' way, am I right? See, the unity, he preached Jesus, am I right? See, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached what? One way, am I right? John 14:6. So, y'all with me? See, there wasn't no multiplicity of ways, amen. That's all the word. It's amazing as we read through the Old Testament, we see that God never been a multiplicity God, amen. God ain't never had but what? One way. He never gave man a choice. He ain't never told you to attend the church of your choice. It ain't your choice. He made the choice for you, amen. When he died on the cross, amen. Am I right? See, it never been a way. Paul said when I depart, grew wood in the end, not speaking what? Perverse doctrine that ought to draw disciples after them. He told you there's going to be a falling away, amen? From what? The way. But from the beginning, there was only one church, amen? The way. Am I right? So what the Bible says, and look what it says here in verse number 2. The Bible says, and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And he did it to persecute them. Amen. But in spite of all this, guess what? He had to change. He had to change. Now let's go a little bit further here. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 9. You stay there. And let's read verse 5 and 6. Because in verse 5 and 6 the Bible said, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonishing said to the Lord, look what he said. He said, what would thou have me to do? Underline that. What would I have me to do? Because if he was already saved, why would he ask the question? Am I right? On the day of Pentecost, they say, he said, men and brethren, what shall we do? In Acts chapter 8, the eunuch said, as he got some understanding, he desired that Philip come and preach unto him Jesus. He said, see his water. What does hinder me from being what? If they already were saved, why would they ask the question? He said, what would I have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what to do. Now, if you got your Bible, by that word there, right? Acts 22 and verse 16. And I want to go there. Ain't going to be told what to do. Amen. Acts 22. Let's go right quick. Acts 22:16, and just write that down there. Acts 22:16. Because the preacher told him in Acts 22:16. I'm going to wait till you get there. He says, y'all there? He says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, if you got your Bible, let me break it down to you a little bit so you'll see what I'm talking about. He said, arise and be baptized. By the word baptism, right? Mark 16:16. And wash away thy sins, Acts 2:38. Calling 2 Thessalonians 2:14 by the authority of Matthew 28:20. I'm going to give you one more time. I'm going to slow it down. Because, see, you got to see it, number one,
that he said, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized to wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. Well, how do you call on the name of the Lord? By the gospel, by the book. Am I right? On the name of the Lord, in the name of, by the authority of Jesus. Amen. Amen. In order to be saved. Amen. Am I right? So in spite of who Saul was, in spite of who Paul was, in spite of all his credentials, he said, I call this for dung. Amen. Why? Based on what I have obtained by being added to the body of Christ. Amen. Then the last one, Acts 10. Here's a man named Cornelius. Amen. I wish a lot of us had his credentials before he obeyed the gospel. Amen. Acts 10:1. He's already was a good man. Amen. But just because you're good, that don't mean you're saved. Just because you're religious, don't mean you're saved. Just because you're devout, don't mean you're saved. Just because you go to church on Sunday, don't mean you're a Christian. Amen. Am I right? Now look here. Acts 10:1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Look at verse 2. You think this man had all this in? He had it going on. Amen. A devout man. One that feared God with all his house. Amen. Which gave much alms to the people. And he prayed to God always. But he had a problem. Go to verse 48. Go to verse 48. Because in verse 48 or verse 47, the Bible says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as he? It was Peter said. In verse 48, it says here, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of our Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So, you see, in summation of what we're saying, a devout man, a church-going man, a zealous man, a good man, don't make you a Christian if you don't obey the gospel. If you don't follow the prerequisite or follow what the Bible says in relationship to what must I do to be saved. Because in every case that we saw, the day of Pentecost, they had to be baptized. The eunuch went down into the water, both Philip and him. He came out rejoicing. Arise and be baptized to wash away thy sin. Call on the name of the Lord. Am I right? Saul of Tarsus. He had been tarrying for, how long? 3 days. And then this man here, a good man, fear God, who prayed. But still, him and his household had to be baptized in order to be saved, in order to wear the name Christian. Amen? So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, why not? You can be saved today. You can put Christ on in baptism. We can bury you in the water grave of baptism. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you can become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, y'all sure putting them papers up, matter of fact. Like y'all saying, thank God. I'm just hearing all the click, 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 click. It just sounds like cameras going along. Click, click, click. Seriously, that souls to be saved. There be one here that needs to respond. Don't you put off tomorrow what you need to do today. Because we don't know what death is. The Bible says he comes like a thief in the night.
Hebrews 9:27 says, upon the man once to die, and after that cometh the judgment day. So if you're here today and you want to be a Christian, you come by hearing the word, Romans 10:17. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you believe what you hear? Mark 16:16. You got to repent, Luke 13:3. If you don't, you're going to perish. You got to make that confession like the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then you got to be spiritually baptized. Buried with him, Colossians 2:12. Romans 6:3-4, to rise to walk in the newness of life. And Acts 2:47 says, once you do that, the Lord will add you. Ain't no voting going to take place. Ain't no doors in no church going to be open. Because guess what? Jesus opened those doors over 2,000 years ago when he established the church. Amen. If you want to identify with this congregation, let us know. Come right now as we stand and we sing.